Good morning. How are you this morning? With Christians around the world and across the centuries, I say to you this morning, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And we rejoice in that, don't we?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We are so glad that you are here today to worship with us. It is going to be a great day today as we worship the Lord. The choir is going to be presenting cantata here in just a few moments. And then in just a little while, we're going to gather together around the Word of God. And we believe that today something special can happen in someone's life because He is risen. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful for the opportunity that we have to be here this morning. We're grateful, Lord, that we serve a risen Savior and that He lives within our hearts. And we give You glory, honor, and praise today for the opportunity that we have to come together as Your body to worship You. May You bless the choir as they sing, and then in a little while as Your word is proclaimed, and as we worship and then Your word is proclaimed, I ask You, God, that You would move in a mighty way. And for what You accomplish in our hearts and in our lives today, we give You praise, honor, and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Oh, today we celebrate both Calvary's Lamb sacrificed for our sins and the risen Savior who defeated death. We give thanks for the great mercy that sent Him to a rugged tree in our place, and the great power that raised Him from the dead.
Days after the Lord's resurrection, we couldn't get enough of hearing the stories His followers shared. John and I would tell how we had raced to the tomb and found it empty. And then Thomas would tell about falling at the Master's feet and declaring, "My Lord and my God." With each testimony that was given, our murmurs would grow into great shouts of joy because we had all experienced His goodness and love.
We're all on a journey. anyone had good reason to believe Jesus was mightier than death itself, it was my sister and brother and I. Lazarus had been buried 4 days when Jesus arrived. My grief was overwhelming, and my disappointment in the Master for not coming sooner was deep. But I will always remember the words he said just before he called my brother from the grave. I am the resurrection and the life. I can tell you for certain, Jesus is our resurrection. He is our hope. He is our answer to every problem.
So many questions, the world is reaching. So many hurting, so many lost. With all this striving, who can we lean on? Creation's crying out from the dark. I know the answer to every question. The one solution to every fear. I know my help and where it comes from. Jesus, he is the answer.
Only one who has been rescued from torment and death could love. At the cross, I grieved for him because he was my Lord and Master, and because he was completely guiltless. In the garden that morning, my sorrow overflowed when we discovered his body gone. But in one moment, agony turned to victory and heartbreak to joy.
Oh,
Jesus said what we must do to be his disciples, his message came down to two words, follow me. We follow by obeying him, by seeking his will, by doing it, and by praying for his kingdom to come. Here are the words he gave me for those who want this life. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. This is your opportunity to follow him today.
In the heart. In the years following his ascension, I, John, lived long enough to watch as his apostles were martyred one by one for their faith in Jesus. Some were stoned, some beheaded, some crucified. I endured banishment and imprisonment and torture. Yet I rejoice to be counted worthy to be persecuted for his sake, because I believed his promise. One day we would see him. One day he would welcome us into his presence. One day heaven would be real.
One day you'll make everything new. Jesus, one day you will bind every wound. The former things shall all pass away.
Thank you.
Don't you appreciate all the work that the choir put into this? They've been working on this several months, and I appreciate Marcy and the choir. Amen.
Can you imagine what it was like that first Sunday? I was up early this morning, actually sitting out on my front porch, when it was just starting to get a little bit light, and I thought of that as I was sitting there. I was like, what was it like for them when they ran to the tomb before sunrise, still kind of dark? What was on their minds? Scripture tells us very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And as they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead." Amen. Join us this morning as we sing and worship our risen Savior. Stand with us this morning, would you please?
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested, redeemed, only beauty remains, and my orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance, when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes. Over me, you have made me new now.
Amen. One else more worthy of praise than our risen Savior this morning. Sing it with me. You're worthy.
You're worthy of it all.
All the saints.
And all the saints and angels bow before your throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, you're worthy of it all.
Day and night, night and day. That incense is our worship this morning. Sing it day and night.
Day and night, night and day, that incense arise.
Your worship.
Day and night, night and day, that incense arise. Day and night.
Things, and to you are all things.
passage of scripture to you. And I'll say a little prayer, and then we'll hear the gospel preached. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I tell you this, brothers and sisters, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Lord, the sting of sin is death, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to you, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for being with us here in this place. We thank you for so clearly evidencing your solidarity with us by sending your Son to live a life and to die a death with us and for us. We know we could express no greater love than this, that you expressed us through your Son, who, though perfect, gave himself for us, redeeming the supposedly irredeemable with his very self. We thank you for this great gift that is you. It's in your name we have life. It's in your name we have resurrection. It's in your name we have hope.
Amen. Praise his name. I want to speak to you this morning from Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 5 down through verse 12 this morning. All throughout Lent, leading up to today, we have been looking through the book of Philippians. I was a little afraid to do what we've done. I wasn't sure how it would go. But I'm so thankful that we have been looking at Philippians. And I believe God has something special to say to us today. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5, the words will be on the screen. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's go back. It's on the screen. We're going to go back. It's about halfway down. I want us to read that together, beginning with therefore. Here we go. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, the cheers of Hosanna, and Pastor Jack told you last week that that means save us. The cheers of Hosanna that had been said earlier in the week had turned into jeers, basically. They were saying of him, he saved others, but he cannot save himself. It had been a wild ride of emotions that had taken them from the highest of heights to the lowest of lows. The noise of the crowd as they were coming into Jerusalem that day was now just a sickening silence in the room where they were. There was disbelief, probably anger, definitely grief. And John lets us know in John chapter 20 verse 19 that there was fear. Because all of these people, they were fearful and they were locked in a room. because they were fearful what the Jewish leaders would do to them. I found out across the year that death always brings out those kinds of emotions. You know, I mean, you look at it, disbelief and anger and grief and fear. You have all of these emotions that are running through you at that kind of a time. Well, Paul was not there. He had not experienced any of this. He had had the experience on the road to Damascus, and it changed his life. But the highs and the lows that the disciples had felt that day, he had not experienced it. He had heard about it. He knew, because we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, on down through verse 8, he says, "For I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles." And then Paul says this, "Last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared to me also." Please remember that Paul is writing all of this from a prison cell. He's writing to a church that he loves. He's writing to them something that none of the apostles, none of the gospel writers give us. And he tells us something that none of them say. And it's what he said in those verses that we actually quoted together there at the end. It's what he says in those last few verses there that I really want us to look at this morning. I really want us to see what Paul has to say to the Philippian Christians, but also to us, about the resurrection, about the exaltation that God has given to him. The first thing that I want you to see this morning is that resurrection. Now, we've come to the end of Lent. We've come to a time of reflection. We've come through a time of repentance. And this morning, as we've gathered here today, we've had a time of rejoicing. We have proclaimed he is risen. We've listened to all that was said in the songs that have been sung. All throughout the Lent season, we've talked about the fact that we're not just to give up something, but we're to become something or someone. And that something or someone is that we're to become a servant. But here Paul is not talking about servanthood. He does not speak specifically of the resurrection. And it's not because he doesn't believe in the resurrection, because if you go over to chapter 3, which we'll get to in a few weeks, if you go over to chapter 3, there the Apostle Paul speaks clearly about the resurrection. I think as Paul is writing this, he does like preachers do sometimes. He gets so caught up in what he's saying. He gets so caught up in what he knows, and he understands that they believe in the resurrection. And it's just so exciting to talk about the fact that up from the grave he arose with a triumph for his foes. I mean, you begin to think about that. It's something to rejoice, you see. He knows the church. He knows what has been taught to this church. He knows that they understand the resurrection. He knows that they understand the ascension. But he wants them to know something else. He wants them to know something more. I mean, he knows that they believe in the resurrection, and he believes in it. As I said a moment ago, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you find there that if there is no resurrection from the dead, then even Jesus has not been raised from the dead. And if Jesus has not been raised from the dead, then our preaching is in vain. But then he says in verse 20 of chapter 15, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ will all be made alive." No doubt about what he's saying. I mean, he believes in the resurrection. You find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You find it in Romans chapter 4, chapter 6, chapter 8. he believed and he preached and he talked about the resurrection and how he desired to know Jesus in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Last Sunday morning, as we had communion together, as part of what we do, I said this: in unity with the church, we confess our faith that Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. When we quote the Apostles' Creed, we affirm our belief in Jesus' resurrection. We affirm our belief that he is coming again and that there will be a future resurrection. I already said it once this morning. It bears repeating. It bears a response. He is risen.
He is risen.
Praise his name. You see, he talks to them about the resurrection, even though he doesn't talk to them about the resurrection. But the second thing that I want you to see, and this is where he begins to show and begins to reveal something that none of the other gospel writers show us or reveal. He begins to talk about the exaltation. Look at verse 9. We said it just a moment ago. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Have you ever noticed the paradox in the gospel? Now, I didn't say a problem in the gospel, so don't go out of here thinking I said that. Have you ever noticed the paradox that's there in the gospel? I mean, the paradox of the gospel basically begins in Matthew chapter 5 when Jesus begins to talk there and he says, the poor in spirit will receive the kingdom. He talks there about the meek inheriting the earth. He talks about the fact that when people persecute you, you should rejoice and be glad. But then he comes to even a greater paradox in Matthew chapter 23, verses 11 and 12, when he says, the greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. You see, in our human way of thinking, none of these things make sense. But in the kingdom of God, it makes perfect sense. In the kingdom of God, things are totally different. And then Paul here in Philippians, he continues this paradox when he says, though being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. This is God taking on the nature of a servant. This is God being made in human likeness. This is God being found as a man, humbling himself and becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. It makes no sense as far as the world is concerned. But this is Jesus. This is Jesus. He is the second person of the triune God. This is the one that said all of that in Matthew. And here Paul, assuming that his readers know all about the resurrection, begins to show that this paradox in our minds is no paradox at all. Jesus has turned the worldview completely upside down. He has lived, he's died, he's been resurrected. And Paul uses that word therefore. And those of you who have been around a while know that every time I say that, see that word, I tell you that you look therefore to see what is behind it. You got to look. You got to know what it's there for. And Paul tells us. He tells us here that God has exalted him because he was willing to do all that he did. God has exalted him. And the word that Paul uses here for exalt means that God has exalted his son to the highest position possible. There is nothing greater than Jesus. Jack and I were talking about this week, and he made this observation. He said that we are exalted by his humiliation. But by our humiliation, he is exalted. You see, God not only exalted a humble servant, but then he has given Jesus a name that is significant, that it excels all other names. The naming of God in the Old Testament, it was so significant, it was so precious, they would not even say it. But here Jesus, through his death, resurrection, and ascension, has been exalted and has been given a name that is higher than any other name, that is above every other name. It doesn't matter who it is, what it is, Jesus is exalted. And because of that fact, he has become Lord of all creation, at which every knee in heaven, on earth, and under the earth will bow before him. And because of that thing, because of that exaltation, you go over to the book of Revelation, and on a very regular basis, as you're reading through the book of Revelation, you find the elders, they bow before Jesus in exaltation of who he is and what he has done. Peter, like Paul, can hardly contain himself when he writes in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." That's what you have been given when you follow Jesus. The one who is exalted above every name, and the one to whom every person will bow. You see, Paul understood, we understand, that Jesus as a servant humbled himself to a death that was unbelievable, but God has exalted him to a position that is above all. He is indeed worthy of it all. Not only this morning do I want to see the resurrection and the exaltation, but the last thing that the Apostle Paul shows us here is the proclamation. I've already touched on it, so I'm going to go back and repeat myself on some of it. So just be happy because I'm almost done. The proclamation. "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." The proclamation. You see, if you just read this, you forget something. If you just read this, you forget that these Philippian Christians were also Roman citizens. Pastor Jack told us that. He reminded us of that a long time ago when we were together on that second Sunday morning as we were going through Philippians. They were proud of the fact that they were Roman citizens. But now the declaration that they were going to have to make as Roman citizens could not be done because they have a new citizenship. No longer could they make the proclamation that Caesar is Lord. Now they could only make the proclamation that Jesus is Lord. They're citizens of a new kingdom. And Paul encourages them to continue in their suffering because they knew Jesus is Lord over Caesar. Jesus has now been exalted. Not only is Jesus exalted, but every person that is a part of Adam's race will one day proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen, William. Good preaching. Including Caesar. Isn't that something? The one who would put them to death for not saying it, one day himself will have to say it. You see, we have a lot of leaders in our world, a lot of people who don't follow after Jesus, a lot of people who consider this thing of the cross foolishness. But one day, every knee will bow. One day, every tongue will proclaim, every tongue will confess, every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. You see, this will either be done in a joyful declaration or a horrible realization. Jesus is Lord. One commentator said this statement is a line of demarcation that separates the believer from the unbeliever. Another commentator said that this closing doxology, the grand scheme of Christ's incarnation, is viewed fulfilling the very purpose of Easter. It's amazing. It's amazing. This is a proclamation that will occur. This is also the proclamation that should occur in our everyday lives. We get so caught up in Christmas and Easter. We get so caught up in two holidays that we forget that you and I are not just called to proclaim Jesus on Christmas and Easter, but you and I are called to proclaim Christ every day of our lives, because He is risen and He is risen indeed. We're called to be servants of the Most High. We're not called, according to Gordon Fee, we're not called upon to simply imitate God by what we do, but to have His very mind, the mind of Christ, developed in us so that we too bear God's image in our attitudes and relationships within the Christian community and beyond. You and I live in a world filled with discord. You and I live in a world that is full of distrust and disunity and self-determination. But you and I are Christian. You and I, as Christians, are called upon to live a life that is different from the rest of the world. We are to be, we are to demonstrate the life of Christ in us by the lives that we live, the attitudes that we present, the witness that we proclaim. You see, everything about what we do, everything about what we say should proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That is the proclamation that we are called to make. Conclusion. Kim shared with us at the beginning, but what a glorious day it must have been. I mean, think about it. An earthquake occurred. An angel appeared. The guards who saw the angel, the word tells us, became like dead men. I kind of think that's an understatement. The women see that the stone is rolled away. They find there's no body there. And then they're told by an angel, go and tell the disciples that Jesus is risen and He's going on ahead of them in Galilee. I love what Matthew chapter 28 verse 8 says. Here again, I think this is an understatement. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell His disciples. You see, folks, please understand, everything that we do in here, it all hinges on the resurrection, because the resurrection is the key to all of this. Because Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins, and those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If the resurrection is not true. That's a big if. But that's not where Paul stops. Because he says there, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of all those who have fallen asleep. You go on down to verse 27 of chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. And there Paul basically says what he says in Philippians, because there he says, for God has placed everything under Jesus' feet. It all hinges on the resurrection. It all hinges on what we sing about. It all hinges on what we preach about, that Jesus Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. And I'm so glad to tell you this morning that He has. Amen. Resurrection exaltation, proclamation. Jesus is Lord. He is risen. And because he is risen, you and I can be changed. A lot of groups out there. And there's nothing wrong with these groups. They do a lot of good work. But can I tell you, they can't change you. Nothing can. I mean, you can come into this church every Sunday morning. You could be here every day of the week. I could get up and preach to you every morning. It would be boring after a while. But William can't change you. I can't do anything for you other than present what I have been told and what I have come to believe and what I have experienced. Please understand something. People out there, they can make fun of you. They can deny your testimony, but they can never make you not believe what you have experienced. Amen. And Jesus Christ will change you through the resurrection. And the question is on the screen, do you need to be changed today? Is there something in your life that you can do nothing about? You've tried everything in this world. You've gone every place that you can go. You've talked to everybody that you can talk to. Do you need to be changed today? If so, Jesus is the one. Do you need your mind renewed? We've talked about that over the past few weeks. Please understand, Jesus is the one that can renew your mind. We've been talking about it for weeks. We're going to continue to talk about it. But have you become a servant to the one who became a servant for you? Have you become a servant to the one who became a servant to you? For you. To change you. To renew you. To make you into the person that you really want to be, but can't find the strength in your own self to be. Jesus can change you today. Father, we're so grateful that we can celebrate with this congregation that God has exalted Jesus and given him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Whether they're above the earth, on the earth, or below the earth, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. We want to be changed. We don't want to leave like we were when we came in. And the only way that that can happen is by us turning to Jesus. This one who humbled himself that we might be exalted. But we do indeed need to humble ourselves so that he can be exalted. I pray, Father, that you would help this congregation today. In just a moment as we sing, if they need to come and to pray, we have these altars and we have these seats here in the front. If somebody needs to pray, if they need to accept Jesus into their life, today would be the best day on this day of resurrection for them indeed to be given new life, abundant life, free life. I pray, Father, that you would bless us and that you would help us. Help us, Lord, not to be afraid. Help us, Lord, not to be ashamed. But if we need you to do something in our lives, may we come and bow before you. May we acknowledge you as our Lord and Savior, asking to be forgiven of our sins, determining that we're going to live a new life in a new way, not by our own strength, not in our own power, but by what Jesus did. He did on the cross. He proved the reality of it through his resurrection. And therefore, He is the name of all names. We give you glory, honor, and praise. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask these things. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing Death was the chorus, and part of Death Was Arrested. If you need to pray this morning, I'm glad to tell you that these altars are open. You can come and bow here, and there will be people. You don't have to tell them anything. They'll just come and pray with you. They would love to do that this morning. If you need to pray, won't you come as we sing this morning?
Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new. My life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new.
Day that you have granted us, your presence that has been with us, and we thank you for your mind that you place in us, that we may live out your life to the world around us, and that they truly may see that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Now, Lord, usher us from this place. May everything we do and say in this day and in the week to come honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.